conversation with SYD Life. Today we are talking all things HSC, and we have some amazing guests with us to talk about not just how to survive the HSC, but how you can thrive. And so right now I'm joined by the wonderful Megan Gilbert, who is a high school English teacher, and you were just, Megan, this year, or still are, the year 12 year advisor at the school that you teach at. Mm-hmm. And you are also just recently a published book author. So
I am.
Congratulations for that. Congratulations. I'm so excited to read the book. It's going to be so good. But unfortunately, we're not talking about the book today. We're talking about some HSC skills. You particularly teach English and all those sorts of amazing things that I can tell you I was really good at school. I'm sure that you would agree that I probably was really good. But we want to just talk about today some skills and things to help some people, these guys who are listening, who might be just about to go into their HSC, or they're in grade 11 and they're so scared to go into grade 12, just to kind of, ease the pressure, get some great skills in place, some top tips, some easy tips. But before we jump in, I did want to ask a question, and I'm going to ask everyone on the podcast today this question. Okay. Are you a Taylor Swift fan?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh my God. She's a huge Taylor Swift fan. Okay, if someone was to come like from behind the curtain here and give you a ticket to a Taylor Swift concert, obviously she's coming next year for the Eras Tour. If you got to go, what song would you want her to sing as the surprise song?
Great question. It's not a humble brag, but just brag. I actually did get tickets to the Eras Tour.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know you got tickets.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going.
Yeah.
What song would you like her to?
She's already done it.
Oh, no.
But I'm under the impression that she's going to reset them for international tour dates.
Yeah.
Exile.
Yeah. Wow. That's from, okay, no, I've got this. It's from the Folklore album.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
That was pretty good. Okay, thank you. I'm noting all of these down just for future reference.
Wonderful.
Maybe I did have someone behind the curtain with a ticket, but now that you've got tickets already, they're not going to come out from behind the curtain. Okay, let's talk HSC skills. HSC skills. So you're an English HSC teacher. Can you just break down for us, you know, we've only got a little bit of time, but could you break down for us just some really basic, your top studying tips?
My biggest tip for students who are about to sit the HSC or want to keep preparing over holidays, so that goes for anyone in any year group, is to actually keep the same schedule that you have for school over the holidays. So year 12 have about 6 weeks now or 5 weeks now before they start the HSC. So my biggest tip is just keep the schedule that you have from school. Keep your school timetable. You still get recess, you still get lunch.
Yep.
Get rid of all the distractions that you ordinarily would have had. That way you're getting at least 5 hours of study in every day.
Wow.
And it's the same as you would have done at school. So stamina-wise, we're usually pretty good with still doing that.
Yeah, cool.
Just a little bit more disciplined. And I know a lot of students really like collaboration. So
nice.
I recommend getting together with your friends and doing like some focus study on different subjects or topics. Get some good snacks and get all your stuff together.
Some mini M&Ms.
Yeah, good one. But yeah, make it like fun, you know.
Yeah, that's
Go to the library, go to a friend's place, work together. I know that works really well for some students. And I think my biggest tip is just not to forget to take breaks, because some of us go really, really hard and then we burn out after a couple of days because we think we're doing the best thing because I'm studying 8 hours a day and that's just not sustainable. So really important to take breaks, intervals throughout the day, however that works best for, you know, individual people.
Yeah.
But take breaks.
Great.
Yeah.
Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Go for a swim.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. Get up, walk around, watch one episode of a show or, I don't know, go make some yummy lunch or go to Chargrilled Charlie's and get something.
When I was in school, I did that particular thing. Like I studied really hard, but I love to still have fun.
Yeah.
And I always like made sure that I was having fun every day and I was getting out and doing things that I loved. And I had friends who I didn't see for ages because they were just studying and studying and they burnt out.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really great, great tip. And so I want to jump in like to a bit of like a niche one, but you do specifically English.
Yeah.
How can I memorize my English quotes?
Everyone's going to be different for this. Personally, for me, I did this in year 11 and for probably like 5 years after, I still remembered my Othello quotes. Putting quotes to songs that you know really well, change the lyrics. So you sing the melody, but you're singing the quote itself.
Could you give us an example?
Look, it's been it's not been 5 years anymore. It's been a really long time since I wish, but I think I put like, my Othello quotes to... It actually might have been a Taylor Swift song now that I think about
Exile.
It. Didn't come out. No, sorry. But that was actually really helpful. And then this sounds so cringe, but I listened to it on repeat. So I just opened GarageBand. You could do it in a voice note or something. And just literally, you have to do it. And you will cringe, but just sing.
Or recording yourself.
Yeah.
Totally.
I know. But it really does work if you've got like an auditory... brain.
That's where you learn,
And if you're musical, then even better. But actually sing your quotes to yourself and then whilst you are studying, play and put it on repeat over and over. You will be surprised.
How your brain works.
Yeah, fully. When you go for a drive, that's what you're listening to. And it's depressing. I get it. It's really sad. Like that's a really quick way to like ruin Taylor Swift's lyrics. But future you will thank you. So that can work. Or like other mnemonic devices, things like that, if you're like an auditory person.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise,
that's brilliant.
Evidence tables, I think, are the best way to organize them. So, you know, you got your quote, you got your technique, you got the effect of it, linked to an idea. So if you're quite an organized person, color coding it can be quite nice to do.
Yeah, the visual.
And then stick it up around your room, chuck one in the bathroom or... wherever you spend time, like on the bathroom mirror. So while you're getting ready in the morning, you can just read them, over them. Yeah. Flashcards, getting your friends to test you, all that sort of stuff. So it's just finding finding something that works best for the individual.
Yep.
Those are kind of my suggestions.
Brilliant. I love it. So along the lines of English exams, if we keep going along those lines, with an English paper, if you get into the exam... and you sit down and the question for the paper is not what you were expecting, which doesn't need to just be English. Obviously it can be any other subject, right? Legal studies or whatever you're doing. And you sit down and you're like, oh, this is a paper on folklore and not Fearless. And I just got my Fs mixed up. You know, what do you do? Can you give us some tips on how to kind of cope with that stress that you would feel in that moment?
Totally. I guess in response to that, I have some like pre-work that you can do to try to mitigate this happening and then I'll speak to
in the moment.
Yeah, how to deal with it. The questions, I'm speaking on behalf of English, but I think this goes for every subject. The questions are based on the rubric. So if you know the rubric, if you know some synonyms for the keywords in the rubric, nothing should be a surprise.
Right.
It might be how they're all brought together that could be a bit surprising.
Ooh.
But if you know the rubric, then you should be pretty well prepared for just about anything.
Great.
So in saying that, when you get the question, focus on the keywords. Like I said, they'll be from the rubric or they'll be synonyms from the rubric.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on those. Don't worry too much about getting the whole question at like first. Like don't try to understand the entire question first. Break it down. Let's look at the keywords that are in there. What do I already know about these things?
Yeah.
And then look at the question as a whole and see what it's actually asking you to do with those. I would just suggest take a minute or two just to stop, think for a moment, write a plan, and then get into the essay. I think sometimes we try to jump into it straight away.
Yes.
I think I know what this is asking me to do, but perhaps we not fully
not
got
quite.
It. Yeah. So I recommend doing this regardless of whether you're surprised by the question or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just recommend just taking the time to plan, to think about the question before you try to dive into the essay.
Great. Great.
And one other thing on that.
Yes, please.
Practice responding to unseen questions before your exams as well. okay. is a good thing to do. Your teachers have probably given you practice papers or practice questions. If they haven't, you've got 5 years worth of papers to look back on. And you probably haven't done all of them at this point for every subject. So there are some unseen questions in there. Go into it thinking, I don't know what this question is. I'm pretending that this is my paper. Mm-hmm. Put your notes away. Do it under time conditions. Download the paper from the NESA website and just dive into the question. So you're actually then getting a bit of practice in responding to unseen questions.
Yeah. So your brain's used to it.
Yeah.
I used to freak out with those. I would freak out.
And fair enough. Like it's actually really stressful. I fully get it. It's a good skill just to keep building up.
That's great. So say it's the night before, it's the morning of the exam, your big exam. And, what would you say to people, someone who is maybe, actually, you know what, I feel quite prepared. What would you say for them to do? What are some great things that they could do to stay prepared, to stay ready? And then what would you say to someone who is like, oh my gosh, I'm so unprepared. I need to cram. I need to do all this. What would you say to those two people?
Yeah, great. Funnily enough, my answer is probably the same for both people.
Nice.
And what I mean by that is no matter what, you need to get a good night's sleep before an exam. There's no point staying up until 3 a.m. whether you are cramming because you feel super unprepared or if you're really well prepared but you feel like I just need to do more and more and more.
Yep.
Whatever camp you are in, either way, stop.
Sure.
You need to sleep. Please sleep.
Go to bed.
Yeah, a 3-hour economics exam will be so much easier if you have slept. So get a really good night's sleep.
Yep.
In the morning when you get up, if you are really stressed and you feel like you need a cram, just maybe get up a little bit earlier. That's okay. But everyone needs to eat something before an exam. You need to have something in your stomach. Those exams will be much easier to do if you have eaten. So get up, have something to eat, have a good breakfast if you can, or at least a banana or something.
Yep.
And then just do your final revisions.
It's nothing worse than sitting in an exam and your belly's rumbling.
Oh, yeah. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
And then you're like worried that everyone else can hear your stomach rumbling and then you're not focused on what you're actually writing.
Yep.
Not worth it. Yeah. So if you do feel like you need to cram, my recommendation is, and this is so much easier said than done, but don't stress. You probably know more than you realize.
Yeah.
You've been going to classes for this subject for 2 years. You probably know more than you realize.
I love that.
And just do what you can with the time that you have, but just not at the expense of your physical or mental health. You need to, like I said, get a good night's sleep, eat something.
Yeah.
If it's, all up here, you need to go for a walk or talk to someone about it. Do that. Make sure you're supporting your physical and mental health.
That's great.
And like I said, you're better off getting a good night's sleep and getting up a little bit earlier the day of, like you probably normally would anyway. So that person who is really well organized, they're probably going to get up a little bit earlier anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make sure we get to school on time or wherever your exams are happening. And you want to make sure that you are ready to go before it starts. So yeah, get up, maybe just revise your notes again, but there's honestly not too much point in cramming because if you're trying to cram in a year's worth of learning into an hour or 2 hours, then you're just going to get more stressed.
Yeah.
So try to rely on the fact that you probably know more than you realize.
Mm.
Look after yourself and just know that, I guess this is probably a greater topic, but there are a million ways into every avenue in life.
You know,
if you want to get into this particular uni degree, there's bridging courses.
Yes.
There's different things that we can do to get us there.
Yeah, it's not the be-all.
No. And your one mark on one exam will not break your entire career moving forward. So,
so good.
It's obviously important. I'm not downplaying the importance of it. It's definitely important. But, try not to get too stressed about it. It will be okay.
You'll
get there. So, good sleep, eat something, revise as you normally would, and just look after yourself.
I've got one more question for you. And this is not actually for any of our HSC students. It's for any of you parents who their child's about to go through the HSC or is coming into it or whatever. Do you have any tips or advice for them on how actually they can support their young person to really just thrive in the HSC and not, disintegrate or run away or pack your bags and go or
Totally.
Any tips?
Yeah. I definitely recommend having a conversation with your child about how you can best support them. I think sometimes you try to put boundaries in later, like no TV, no phone, whatever, and that's just going to add extra stress.
Yes.
They're already stressed.
Mm.
We don't need to add any more. So, yeah, I really recommend having a conversation with them about what kind of boundaries do we need to have set or what kind of expectations, what do you need from me as your parent and how can I provide that? And that might just be being available to open up the home to have friends over for a study session, or it might be making sure that I'm eating really well, or my favorite snacks are always going to be in the cupboard or whatever it is, or it might be accountability. Like,
yes,
here's my phone, take it from me for the next hour and a half, whatever.
Yeah.
It's really good to set that up sooner than later. So just ask your teenager what they want, how you can best support them. Cause again, everyone's different.
Mm.
And just look, your kid's going to get stressed. It's a stressful time. We all get stressed. We're all in this sort of stressful situation. Mm. Parents are going to be stressed. Kids are going to be stressed. So just have that extra grace. There will be days where they don't want to study and they won't.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not the be all and end all.
Happen.
Yeah. We got to succumb to it sometimes.
Yeah.
So totally. It's okay to recognize that it is just stressful and it'll be over soon. But do what you can to, I guess, support them.
Yeah.
And just make sure that they are eating well and eating regularly, that they're drinking lots of water.
Come on.
These two things can be forgotten very easily by kids who are in the throes of studying.
Yeah, so, in the zone.
Yeah, totally. So definitely recommend make sure you got some good food for them, make sure they're drinking water, and, yeah, don't try to take their phone away from them unless they've asked you to, because that will just cause more friction. I would not recommend it.
Would not recommend.
No. But, yeah, that's my suggestion.
That's great. Thank you. That's really, really good. And, you know, give a couple of unseen essays a go. And see what's like how you to go. Be in their shoes. that's awesome. I think that's really good. Well, thank you, Megan. That was amazing. Oh, and I've took many, many notes in my mind. I'm ready to sit the HSC. So
amazing.
We're about to just talk to Jackson Sporting about his experience. So it's going to be awesome. Thank you. All right. We've got Jackson here in the studio with us now. Tell us, you are a business owner, an executive leader, and, you know, last but not least, a creative man. But we want to talk about your experience through the HSC. We want to talk about your experience outside of school once you finish the HSC, going out of school, figuring out, you know, what the heck, who am I, what do I do, you know, all those kinds of questions that we wrestle with. But I have a question for you before we get started. It's very important. You know, Taylor Swift's coming to Australia next year, Eras Tour. Did you get tickets?
Did not.
No. Okay. If you were to be given tickets, say, you know, someone walked out from behind the curtain right now and gave you a ticket to Taylor Swift, what would be the song that you would want her to sing at the concert? Because she does these special songs that she pulls out. What would be
a Taylor
Swift
song?
Yeah.
Out of the Woods.
Out of the Woods.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love it. Great answer. Out of the Woods, 1989. Great album.
Yes.
So Jackson, we're talking about HSC, talking about out of school. The guys who are watching or listening right now, you are currently going through your HSC or you're about to start it, or you're in grade 11 and you're coming into your HSC year. Jacko, you went through your schooling life and I would probably say that from the stories that you've told me, you know, the study education part of things was maybe not your highest priority while you're in school. Talk to me about some of your experiences. Maybe give us a story about your experience in school. What did you find study to be like in school?
Look, from the get-go, I didn't understand what school was about.
Yeah.
I just thought it was an opportunity to hang out with your mates.
So good.
And that's all I did. Like, I kind of didn't really do much homework and didn't really understand how to learn. And I think that was the most, I guess the hardest thing for me to kind of navigate. It's like you just kind of faked your way through. Even right up until the HSC, I remember just feeling like, oh gosh, like, this doesn't really matter. And I only attempted the HSE because my parents had put me in school to do it. Outside of like finishing, there was the opportunity to leave in year 10 and go and get a trade. My dad was like really for that. And I was like, oh no, I kind of want to stay because I don't really know that I want to do a trade. But I feel like the latter parts of high school is, oh, I got to start to make all these big decisions that are like going to form the rest of my life. And I kind of just wanted to make my own path. And I kind of did that. Like I went through and did the HSE to my the best of my abilities. I didn't want to kind of put myself into like stress out and freak out because, you know, next year I want to go and do this or study that. I actually didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah, so like schooling for me was, I was a bit of a naughty boy. my reports from... since you got reports, always said the same thing, which was just, Jackson is a sound student, however, is easily distracted. And I was like, do they just copy and paste this from year on year or am I just acting this out every year? So I guess I didn't really, my whole schooling was just to make friends and kind of learn a few things. And I found some things interesting in school, like I really liked ancient history and random
the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I think
how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Every day. I had this conversation with my wife this morning and she was like, so like, to be honest, how often is it? And I was like, at least every second or third day. yeah, so to answer your question, school was it was just like this time thing for me. It was just like, how long till I get out of this? And then once I got out, I didn't really know what to do. I kind of fell into a few different jobs here and there, but I liked that I was trying different things. I knew in school from some of the real practical subjects like design and technology and woodwork, metalwork, those types of subjects were really beneficial for me because I started understanding I could like to learn with my hands. And I started to learn, oh, I actually learn better when I'm doing something practically rather than sitting and looking at a textbook and trying to digest that information.
Kinesthetic learner.
Oh, definitely. Very visual. Like I love the pictures in the books more than the books themselves. And I think as that kind of moved forward into the end of HSE and what I wanted to do, I started doing things. Like I started making my own t-shirts and doing different creative things. And I was like, oh, wow, like why didn't I do visual arts in school? Why didn't I do – but it wasn't cool to do arts. It wasn't cool to do photography in school. It was like really weird. And I was like, there's all these weird social things that happen in high school that do not matter.
Yeah, and they stop you from
And they just make you – they kind of form you into a box. And it's like after HSE, the world was my oyster. And I kind of took it off from there. Like I started doing some random handyman work after school, learned what it meant to like kind of work a full working week, tried a few different things and got an opportunity in television. Yeah. So I was doing some warehouse work for a company, just cleaning up some stuff, and they had a studio that was attached to the company. And one of the chief engineers came past me one day and was like, oh, do you want to kind of clear out some of our warehouse? And I was like, sure. And then next week I did some work for him and he was like, you know a bit about computers? And I was like, oh, a little bit. And he's like, how'd you like to work in television? And I was like, are you kidding? Like, but it was only because I'd made some sort of a start. I wasn't waiting.
Yeah, you just got in there.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm going to take any opportunity that comes my way.
Yeah.
Fast forward to where I am now, I'm like, got my own studio. Like, I've been in the industry for 15 years now. I've flown around the world doing commercials and stuff like that. And
so it's
like,
cool.
I didn't really know that that's what I wanted to do when I was in school. So I guess like my encouragement for everyone is just because you don't know now doesn't mean you're going to be always in a place of I don't know. But like take opportunities as they come. Try and do different things. If you have an interest, say it might be animals or something like that, go and work at a veterinarian or something like that. Try to see what it's like to work in that industry rather than just basing yourself on this is what I studied, so therefore I only know these things.
And did you have lots of I know I had lots of friends who felt very pressured to go straight into uni after school, and they You know, no hate to the business degrees and the comms degrees, but they jump straight into, you know, a comms degree or a business degree because, or an arts degree or something like that, because they didn't know what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so they just spent 3 years at uni and finished with a degree, which is great, but still actually didn't know what they loved and what they wanted to do and go forward into. And did you find that with your friends or peers that you had that same thing?
There was probably only two or three people in my year that actually graduated that went on to study something that they would, they'd kind of picked up in school.
Yeah, wow.
And then it turned into a career. Yeah. The rest of them just jumped around uni degrees for the first 3 years of uni doing this, that and the other because they were like, oh, I did this in school. I did a bit of business studies in school. Therefore, I kind of like that. But it's like there's so much more that you can learn outside of school.
Yes.
I studied more outside of school than I did in high school. So done 8 years of study since high school.
Wow.
And it's really interesting because I've got a plethora of different things. I've done electronics and communications. I've studied film and television.
Brilliant.
I went and did a degree in design. It's like,
yeah.
But I was the bad kid that didn't really understand school. And I think the pressure of like only knowing what you've experienced is one of the really hard things to kind of make all these big decisions towards the end of, you know, the year of what am I going to go and study next year? Do I have enough points to kind of get into that degree?
Yeah.
My thing is always, I've always encouraged everyone to just go out and experience life, what the world has to offer. You don't even really know who you are. You know are as a teenager in high school.
Yes.
But like, go and experience different jobs, different countries even. Find out, you know, what you really are interested in. Because they didn't teach film and television at school.
Yeah.
They had an entertainment course, which I didn't even do.
Yeah.
And it was like...
From the 90s.
Yeah. Probably. I'm surprised that like I didn't do it because it would have been like something that I'm interested in.
Yeah, right.
It also didn't line up with my timetable. I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm like, gosh, if I could have, I would have done all these other subjects. Yeah. But... Yeah, I think in terms of my friends, like it's so interesting to kind of, I think that I went to a private school for year 11 and 12 and the vast majority of us were all trying to get into uni, mainly because that was like what we saw as the next step for after school.
Yes, the option.
Yeah, yeah, and it wasn't, no one had ever kind of presented this option of like, no, just discover yourself, find out who you are, what you like to do, what interests you, what doesn't interest you. And you're only exposed to the subjects that you're learning at school. So therefore, most people kind of go, oh, yeah, like I kind of liked, you know, social studies. I might go and do that at uni or I did like business study or I'm going to do maths extension 12 or whatever at uni. Like, and look, I think if you're wired that way, go for it. Like if you have that, like... There are some people that, and there were some people in my year that at a young age just knew what they were going to do. But I guess for most kids, it's like there's some jobs that are actually going to be out there in the future that don't have a uni degree attached to it yet. So it's like there's so much more potential for you to understand the future if you don't try and box yourself in based on your past.
Yes.
So I think, free yourself of that and just – take the time to figure yourself out.
That's brilliant. That's really, really helpful. One thing before we finish, what would be like if you could stand in front of a year 12 person right now and give them like a one-liner of advice to help summarize what we've just talked about here, what would you say to them?
Learning doesn't stop in the end of school. Mm-hmm. You continue to learn for the rest of your life. So for me, it was learning how to learn. And I did that after school.
Yeah.
But now it's like opened so much for me to be just a better human, be a better person. I think it's helped me adopt a bigger view of the world.
Yeah.
In just knowing that I'm always in a position of learning.
Brilliant.
And yeah, never stop learning.
Love it, Jacko. You're the boss of learning. Learning isn't the boss of you. So thank you, Jacko. That's really helpful. Thanks. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. Until next time.
Until next time.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Cheryl.
great. Awesome. Well, thank you to Jackson. That was amazing hearing from him and his experience outside of school, coming out of school. And so now we're kind of shifting to, a new perspective, a fresh perspective of coming out of the HSC into life outside of school. And we have Lucy Laidlaw with us today.
Hello.
Welcome, Lucy. I can hear the crowd cheering in the back. Welcome, Lucy. Luce, you did at uni, you left school and went straight to uni, is that right?
Yeah.
And then you studied and now you are working in your field, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump into that. But I do have a really important question for you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
First up. So I know for a fact you're a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah.
So if there was someone in the room right now, maybe like behind the curtain or something, who came out from behind the curtain and gave you a Taylor Swift ticket and they were like, here, this is for you and three of your closest friends or whatever, and you were going to Taylor Swift next year, Eras Tour.
Yeah.
I'm like,
is there someone behind the curtain?
She's like, oh my gosh.
Do I win an Eras Tour ticket from this?
Congrats. No. And you were going, what would be the one surprise song that you would have to have her sing if you could choose?
Oh, this is so hard. This is such a hard question.
I've asked the other two.
Okay.
And they had some pretty good answers. So,
okay. It's like, where do I even narrow this down to?
I thought you'd have an answer.
I know. I'm like a big 1989
okay.
person.
Yeah. Jackson picked a 1989 song. Mm,
okay, I'm like also big on Red.
Okay.
And big on Reputation.
Okay, so she can't do a whole surprise album. She can do a surprise song, Luce.
Okay. You know what? It would be Clean off 1989.
Clean. Wow.
Yeah. Or New Romantics.
Okay, so pick one.
I feel like that's been said.
No.
Your reaction.
No, Jackson picked Out of the Woods.
Interesting.
Anyway, so let's jump in because I've spent too much time talking about Taylor Swift this podcast. So let's jump in. You obviously you went to school, you studied, mm-hmm. you're a great studious person, Lucy, I'm sure, and a little bit. So tell us, I know I did a little bit of a summary, but tell us about what you're doing now, a little bit about what you're doing now. And
yeah, so I went to school. I kind of enjoyed school.
Good.
Yeah. I do have to say to validate all the people that are like me.
Yeah.
I definitely enjoy learning and I went straight to uni and studied like a Bachelor of Science.
Mm-hmm.
I did my majors as data science and music.
Amazing.
So like that's an option. Like so many of the unis these days have like you can do one thing and then something completely opposite and
I
put it all
that.
Together.
Mm.
So always keep things interesting. And now I'm working in like a big corporate company as like a graduate data scientist.
Come on.
So yeah, like I don't know if people know
so
what that
good.
Is, but it's kind of like using those creative problem solving skills.
Yep.
Learning coding, all of that fun stuff.
So good.
Yeah, so it's been really fun.
That's amazing. I still remember seeing your laptop screen once with all the coding on it. And I was like,
that's right.
I was like, so shocked, like walking in on you coding. It was one of the funniest things. But I love that. That's amazing. So you went straight into uni, straight into a degree, and then straight into the workforce in the same field of the degree that you studied.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
That is like pretty amazing. And I know that doesn't happen for everyone, but it does happen, which is so cool. So what kind of, what motivated you to pick that course? Like, did you know from when you were six that you wanted to be a data scientist or, what were the kind of steps that you took to?
Yeah, definitely not from when I was six. Probably the field didn't exist, I don't think. But, I remember that so clearly in year 12.
Yeah.
I kind of put out what I was looking for in a career.
Right.
Like I wanted it to be something where I could be really heavily problem solving a lot.
Great.
I feel like that was something I enjoyed and had strength in.
How did you find that you liked doing that?
That's such a good question. I think some of it in school you can tease out a little bit, you know, like I enjoyed maths and, you know, that kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah.
But then it's also in life and in church and like I've always loved, designing things and being able to find the solution. And
cool.
I kind of just asked around of what I could do with both that kind of logical side and a bit of creativity.
Great.
And there's lots of things. I think I wanted to be an architect for a while. I was like, that's a good logic and creative combo.
Yeah.
But then it was actually just my dad like mentioned that I should look into it one time and I'd never really heard of it before then. And I think it was like the first year of that course. I'm at uni. So
oh, wow.
All of those like tech courses, there's always something new. So
great,
yeah, I'd always say, I kind of looked on all the uni websites, looked at like all the subjects and mm-hmm. went, oh, I'd enjoy learning about that. I'd enjoy learning about that. And that's how I finally landed on data science of
wow.
kind of actually looked at all the subjects and went, oh, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, right.
So whatever sparks your interest, like just go for it. Look at all the details, look at the subjects and yeah. yeah.
So it wasn't, so for you, it wasn't a matter of, I know the career or I kind of know that I'd like to do this career. It was more just like you found the course and
yeah.
then out of that. So it wasn't necessarily like, oh, I want to.
Yeah. Less of kind of like, I want to be a lawyer. So I study law. It was yes. more, I knew down the track, anything in kind of technology and STEM area.
Yeah.
Once you know, you can get a degree in something and transfer those skills a lot.
Yes. So, sure. Yeah.
When I was looking for jobs later on, we might talk about this later, I'd found that I'd enjoyed it heaps in uni. So that right. kind of led me to go, okay, I actually do want to do something in this field.
Yeah. Because I think we forget that in uni you study, like you do study one course, but you study so much within
so
that.
So much,
and
exactly.
you've got all your little niches in the course. And
yeah.
in every degree, it's not like it's just.
Exactly. There's yeah. electives you can do and yeah. so many unis do what I did where you can throw in like another major from somewhere. So I wanted it to be, have lots of variety. So, you know.
I love that.
Trying to do music and trying yeah. to do like sciencey stuff too.
And what uni did you go to?
Sydney.
Sydney Uni. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, local.
Come on. And did you, this is just for my own personal knowledge, but did you commute in? You did the commute?
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you find the commute?
Love-hate relationship with the B-line, I'd say.
Totally.
yeah.
That's good. So to jump back, because I really love just like, I guess your confidence in just being like, I'm just going to do this course. Was there anything else that you kind of did to kind of figure out that direction? Like anything like any, you know, personality tests or something like that that's a bit more...
Yeah, a bit more tangible.
Yeah, tangible to be like, oh, this... Would this suit me as a person or anything like that could have helped you to get into that degree?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in school they made us do these kind of career tests and some yeah, of it was a bit not great.
Yeah, right.
But I think there was like a strengths one where I came back quite high in problem solving a few times and I was right. like, okay, that direction is something I want to go in.
Right,
cool. And I also knew that I was interested in technology.
Yeah.
But I had no coding experience. I'd done music and art in high school and didn't do any of the IST or anything like that.
Sure.
But I think over that summer break, I'd kind of signed up to do data science,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it's actually easy to change once you get there. So I kind
yes.
of, you know, there's things called census dates and
yes, come on.
You can completely change what you're doing after 3 weeks in and you've tested it out.
Yeah.
So I think over that summer, I like typed in like online coding course. And just clicked on the first one and really enjoyed it. And I was like, okay. Yeah, it was like nothing to do with data science. It was like website, making
a
website.
Yeah, yeah.
But all of that stuff, just trying things as much as I could, trying to learn online before I got there
yep.
to test it out before I got there. And I think I was lucky that once I did start, I was like, oh, yeah, this is something I want to do.
Yeah.
But it is easy to change, especially in something like a Bachelor of Science to
so
a completely different major.
Yeah.
There's hundreds, so many to choose from. So
I know. It's almost overwhelming at times.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you feel when you were coming into like starting uni or just before you started or even just after you started, any kind of like a bit of intimidation or like fear around it? I know this is a bit of a wild question, but like, yeah, did
no,
you feel
absolutely.
Any of that? Or and how did you kind of navigate that if you did?
I think the fear I felt was, because I kind of got there and I just loved it. And I was like, I just want to,
classic.
I want to learn everything I can. Like yeah. I want to build cool stuff and make cool data things and code cool stuff.
Yeah.
I think the fear I had was that imposter syndrome of like, I'm never going to be as good as my classmates or I'm never going to get a job in this field.
Right.
Which looking back on is like crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Because it was actually quite easy to get a job in this field.
Mm.
But that imposter syndrome of like everyone's doing better than me, everyone's coding since they were four and like I've just come in to like technology a bit late.
Yeah. They so knew they wanted to be data scientists.
They did. They did. Everyone in my first computer science lecture did.
Oh, shit.
But I think it was that for me of
yeah.
I'm loving this so much I don't want to miss out on getting to continue to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. that is a bit of like a scary thing, and you've got people next to you who you feel like are years ahead of you.
But, yeah.
And you hear people say that all the time, like, oh, there's no jobs in that. Oh, there's no jobs in that. Don't bother studying that. There's no jobs in that. But I feel like that I hear like a lot of teenagers that I'm around at the moment are like, oh yeah, but there's no jobs in that, so I'm not going to study that. I'm like, no, study it. Like, if you're keen on that, go for it. And exactly. There's always going to be jobs. And if you're keen to study it, even if right away you don't find a job in that specific thing, there will always be things around it that have to do with that thing that you're studying. So it's,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like, jobs change so much.
Totally.
You know, in this world we live in. Like.
Constantly.
Jobs change so much. Yeah. The best thing you can do is pick something that overlap of what you're good at and what you enjoy.
And what you love.
Whatever's in the middle there, like become an expert in that and you'll be great.
That's so good. That's the master level where you
hit
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And any subjects that you did in school, were there subjects that you did in school that kind of reflected the course that you went into, or was it a bit like random?
Yeah,
you?
To be honest, I kind of stuffed up my year 12 courses. Yeah. So like, to anyone who thinks they've done it wrong, like, I think I, like for something like data science, I should have done like as much maths as I could.
Yeah.
But I think I like dropped extension maths after year 11 because my friends weren't in that class.
Oh, classic.
It was boring.
Yeah.
But then I just kind of did like some online bridging course or something and it was fine.
Yeah, right.
Like, I think going into that was the intimidation of everyone's done like extension 2 maths and come from overseas and doing all this math. But it turned out to be fine. And I think whatever I, at every stage, like picking subjects for year 12, picking uni, it was just, what do I look at this and think I'm going to really enjoy that?
Yes.
So I picked art and music and
brilliant
English, and I loved that at the time.
Yeah.
And those kind of skills that you get in those creative subjects as well can totally apply to a corporate job, STEM field.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you that unique approach to those fields as well.
It's great. It's really good. I love that. That's the best mindset, I think, is like, am I going to love this? Because then you get people who come into uni degrees and they're just doing it because they think they have to.
Oh,
and,
exactly.
And they're just like absolutely just devastated, or they're, you know, they're so sad, or they're so just like unfulfilled. And it's like do something you
you're
love.
Spending every day on this. Like, you know, like, your year is just going to be what your days are.
You're
studying something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, really try it. You know, there'll be days where it might be a bit boring, like, you know, a few subjects here and there, but overall, if you, mostly enjoy and are passionate about it, like, you can't go wrong.
Love it. Love it, Luce. Very good. Okay, I've got one more question for you.
Cool.
And we're going to rewind back to HSC, just to loop off the end of the podcast, because I want to hear maybe a couple of top tips from you on how you kind of attacked the HSC. How did you, in grade 12 and 11 as well, how did you kind of balance, you know, schoolwork, study, hobbies, social life, any other extracurricular activities? How did you kind of approach that? And do you think it was a good way to approach it?
Yeah.
Or do you think that you could have done things differently?
Yeah, I think what worked for me, and I always recommend this to people, because I think I really approached it as a bit of a game. You've got to take this a bit of a grain of salt, but
no, I love it.
Like, it was just a game to me to get the mark that I needed to get into the degree I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, I knew I wanted to get into data science.
Mm-hmm.
There was a ATAR there that I needed. It was quite high, to be honest. Like, and it was just a game of, how do I get that without putting in so much more effort that it's completely consuming my life?
Yeah.
So like, how do I get into the course I want whilst keeping all my hobbies, keeping my social life?
Mm-hmm.
And I found, for me, it was just that, it was kind of zooming out a little bit and just going, this isn't my identity, this mark.
Great.
It's just a tool to get to the course that I want it to be in.
Yeah.
So
brilliant.
I wouldn't even really plan out my weeks. I would just have an end goal of, you know, I wanted to do like 2 maths papers by the end of this week.
Yep.
I know I've got sport. I know I've got this music commitment. I know I've got this birthday dinner, you know, this 18th or whatever it is.
Yep.
And go, okay, I can shuffle that in here and here. Cool.
Right.
Rather than just leaving endless gaping, like, I need to study for 8 hours on this day, or rather than having it as like a time thing, like, I need to spend this many hours.
Yes.
Just like, I need to do this many things. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I've ticked them off.
Yeah.
I definitely am one of those people who likes having lots of things on the go. So
yeah,
it would motivate me knowing that I've got something fun on the weekend that I need to study now so that I can go to that thing, yeah. whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And it keeps giving you perspective as well.
Yeah.
Like keeping those hobbies, it keeps it in perspective of this is just a tool to get me into uni if I want to do that or wherever I want to go as well.
Yeah, that's great. A bit of quantity, quality, sorry, over quantity.
Absolutely.
In terms of study yeah. and stuff. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think it works for different people.
Yeah.
Like that really worked for you.
Exactly.
And then, but sometimes people are like, they need kind of a bit of a schedule to keep their brain
yeah,
focused
exactly.
or whatever.
Yeah.
So it works for, but I really love that perspective. That's really great. I love it. Well, that's it.
Cool.
That's it. That's all I have for you. But that was really helpful. I love that because we had some really great perspectives from Jackson and then from yourself and then Megan with the really good tips. So I think yes. this has been a really helpful podcast. If I was in grade 12, I would be lapping this up. So for those of you who are in grade 12, who you're listening or you're in grade 11, you're going into grade 12s, you know, send it to all your mates, send it to all your friends, send it to your parents, send it to your cousins. Because it's been really helpful. So thank you, Luce. I really appreciate your time. And let's go science some data.
Yeah. No. I'm waiting for my ears to go.
Wait a second.
My ears to come from behind the curtain.
Thanks, Lucy.
Signing off.
Do I need to do an outro?